you know any places any Sega nerds hang out around here?
And welcome to the Sega Nerdcast, episode 107. I am Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me this week is my favorite little Sega buddy, Graham Cookson. How's it going, man?
Hey, dude, it's been a while.
Oh, man, it seems like a while. Yeah, it's been a long time. Actually, I think the last Nerdcast we had was when we announced the Megavisions Kickstarter, like in June.
Oh, God.
So it's been about almost 6 months since our last Nerdcast.
Wow.
It's been a long time. And I should say that the biggest reason for the lack of Nerdcast here over the past half year is that we've just been so busy working on Megavisions. It's been an incredible undertaking to get this off the ground. For those listening, if you're not familiar with Megavisions, it's a new digital interactive video game magazine that we kickstarted in like June and July, and we actually just released our very first issue the middle of November, and we've been working nonstop on bringing that to the market, and we finally have it out. It's in a magazine now, Graham.
Yeah, damn right. Yeah, we made it ourselves, which is so exciting.
it's almost like having a baby.
Yeah, it's like a baby that keeps you up at night and like kicks you and punches you in the face until you want to cry, and then you finally get to bed and you know send it out into the world or whatever, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Oh wait, there's more shit that you have to do. So you have to wake up and you have to stay up night after night working on it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But we'll get into some more Megavisions talk later in the show. This Nerdcast is going to be pretty familiar format-wise. We're going to talk about what we've been up to. We're going to get into the newsstand. We'll talk about all the recent news. I know we've missed quite a bit, but we'll try to hit on some of the major pieces of news. We will have a featured discussion, which will center around Megavisions and some of what's involved in that first issue. We'll talk about what we've been playing, and then we'll get out of here for this week. So, Graham, man, a lot's been going on in your life. Why don't you fill us in on some of the most crazy aspects of what's been going on with you here lately?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, right. Where can we begin? So, okay, we just mentioned Megavisions, which we'll go into more detail later. That's one of the things that's taken up most of my life lately. Other key things is I was made redundant for my job, which you might be like, but at the same time, if you listen to previous Nerdcasts that I've been on, you'll know that I hated my job. Hey, it's awesome.
I was so excited to hear that you got. For those who are in America, it's essentially the same thing as being laid off, right, Graham?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because basically, I wasn't like fired. Like to get fired in the UK, you basically have to do something pretty bad, like punch the boss or steal something or whatever, or just do something bad and they go, or just, in fact, even if you just weren't working to the standard that you're meant to, you could get fired in the UK. But I was made redundant, which means that effectively the company doesn't have enough money or reason for my job role, if that makes sense. So like my job role is no longer needed in the company. So it means they can't just replace me or anything. Like that job is no longer there, which means that's why I lost my job. But it also means that I've got a month's pay and a bit more like basically when I was let go. If you get fired over here though, you just go. You don't get any extra pay or anything. So yeah, basically they let me go and I had like a month and a half of getting paid and doing nothing. Although I was doing stuff, I was working on Megavision, so it was like I was working. But
hey, Graham, I have some bad news.
Oh no.
You've been made redundant on Megavision.
Well, actually, that means I can sleep. Yay! I can sleep again. So yeah, I guess if that's what being laid off is in America, then yeah, it's kind of the same as being laid off. Yeah, so yeah, that was a big thing that happened. But it was actually quite good because I'm bringing it up again, but it basically actually meant that I could work more on Megavisions, which was really helpful. So, and yeah, as I say, if you listen to previous podcasts, I just did not like my job. My boss was pretty much a psychopath. Like he didn't really know. I don't think he really knew what he was doing. And when I first started the job, it was really cool. It was like a really fun company to be in, but it just changed and changed and changed. And it got to the point where my boss was like just doing stuff that was really dodgy and really shifty. Like he was, he told me to get the statistics from like for our website to give to a potential client. So because we're basically the company made software and built a website basically for traders for like the stock market and stuff. And yeah, he's like, so we need to send like the details to this guy who's going to be a potential client. And I was like, oh, okay, so you want me just to get the stuff from like Google Analytics? Yeah, you don't want me. You don't have any crazy figures that you want to put in there. He's like, why would I put in figures? Why don't we just get the real stuff? It's like, okay, just want to check, because that's the kind of guy he is. In the past, he's all done stuff a bit dodgy. And I spent, like, basically all day... and he basically said you had to, like, get graphs and charts and stuff. So I spent, like, most of the day sort of sorting out these charts and graphs and stuff and trying to get it, trying to make the things, trying to twist it so that it sounded really good, because the stats were terrible. they were really bad. But I was trying to, like, work out which are the best ones to sort of, like, show the growth, for example, like... Rather than saying, hey, we've only got like 10 people using the site, it's like, hey, we've grown like 100% in the last month from like 2 people to 4 people. so I was trying to make it look like that, make it look really good. And then we sort of sent it to my boss, like, to like double check. It's like me and she's kind of like the office manager who's sort of kind of overseeing what I was doing because my boss is out of the office at the time. And he sort of completely lost it. It's like yelling at her down the phone and then getting her to tell me to change the numbers. So like, she's like, right, this one got put down. Basically like, so like 20,000 users and stuff like this. And it's just like, these are all made up figures. And he said, this is all you need to do. Write a sentence that's got these figures in and that's it. And it was like, that's literally the opposite of what you said yesterday. That's ridiculous. But yeah, so basically... And yeah, it was just like he did crazy stuff like that. Like he'd say one thing and then completely change his mind. And yeah, and anyway, like, so I am really happy I'm not in the company anymore. So I'm not doing that anymore, but I've been applying for other jobs as well. And I don't want to say who it is, but I've applied for a job, a video game company who's based in Germany. And I've got through the first couple of rounds of the job sort of, it's not, I haven't had an interview as such yet, but they've given me like a few tests to do and I've done the tests and yeah, so
you pretty much got the job as
well. I'd like to actually I need to contact, I'm actually going through an agency, I need to contact them tomorrow and go, hang on a minute, what's going on here, because I haven't heard for a couple of weeks now. But they've been very slow in their process. Like they sort of said, oh yeah, we'll look at your CV, and then like a month later, like, here's a test. It's like, okay. Then, like, 3 weeks later, like, have you done the other test? I'm like, what other test? Like, oh, we'll have to send that to you. So they sent me another test. And it's like, okay. Basically, I've been doing the process for, like, over 2 months now. So we'll see where we go, really. But, yeah. I think those are the main things that's happened, really. Megavision's losing my job, trying to get a new job. There we go. That's it. Oh, also potentially bought a new flat through the process of actually going through it. I had some inheritance money basically that's come through, and so I'm able to actually like buy a small little place for me and my girlfriend, which is awesome.
That is a thing that is completely foreign to Americans these days. We do not get inheritance. It sounds like an old turn of the century story from that we read in books about people getting inheritances, like large sums of money from distant relatives.
It's kind of uncommon over here now as well, but I guess like my it's kind of weird, like my grandfather owned a owned properties in London or something, and it's kind of inheritance, but it's not inheritance, if that makes sense. Like he died quite a while ago, but the properties that he owned were sort of tied up or something, and they've actually finally managed to sell some properties, and that meant that me, my brother, and my mum actually got a little bit of money, basically. Not, unfortunately, not like millions. That'd be awesome if it was millions, but you know, just enough to sort of get my foot on the ladder of a property ownership, I guess. But yeah, so
now you're going to become like a property tycoon. The Cookson Empire is going to rise again.
I think it's going to be awesome. I'm going to be the new Donald Trump. I'm going to start like building stuff, making hotels, and you know,
large structures.
Maybe run for prime minister one day over here. yeah, but we'll see. I don't know. Oh, actually, possibly the most exciting news ever, actually.
But instead of large towers, you're just going to build very long lines for people to queue in, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what things people like. We like a good line, so I'll give the people what they want there. But I've just thought of one other last bit of news that's happened in my life that's made me very happy. I finally managed to get a Microsoft Lumia 950 XL mobile phone. So
I thought you were going to say a steady girlfriend.
Whoa, hey, that happened a while ago.
So how's the Lumia, not the girlfriend?
They're both
black and sexy, right?
Yeah, exactly. it's beautiful. I love it. People know I'm the resident Microsoft fanboy, and I've actually been wanting this phone for a while. And they had a really good deal in the Black Friday sort of stuff, and I was like, yeah, may as well, because my phone's actually about 2.5, nearly 3 years old, and so it's getting on a bit in smartphone wise, and I was like, maybe time to upgrade. So
I'd imagine that at this point, Microsoft's phone line is about where the Dreamcast was when Sega was like giving Dreamcast away if you signed up for a year of SegaNet service. I'd imagine that's pretty much the equivalent to where they're at right now.
It's probably getting that way, actually, yeah, unfortunately. But this one comes with a like a little docking thing, so you can plug into like TVs and monitors and stuff, so you can use it like a mini PC. So like things like Word and stuff actually open up and become like big apps, which is something I want to see. Unfortunately, the phone was sent separately from the little docking station, so I've got to wait for the docking station. But yeah, they gave me a free keyboard and cable, which is nice as well.
That's nice of them.
Yeah,
I will say this about Microsoft products: they make, I think, very good hardware.
Mm.
I really love my Lumia. I think it was. Was it a Lumia 920? Was it?
Yeah, I think that's the one you had. Yeah.
It was a really good phone, and I remember I dropped it like two or three times, and I didn't have a case for it, and the thing was a monster. And one day I was just walking, and it barely like fell out of my pocket, and it fell like right on the face, and it just shattered the whole thing. And at that point, I was like, okay, I'm done with Microsoft phones anyway, because there was just no apps for it. But the phone itself was really good.
Yeah, you know? it's kind of annoying, because it's the thing that if you actually here's the thing: if you bought like one of the cheap Nokia Lumia series, they're not that great. They're like the cheap Android phones. They're kind of a bit, you know, a bit slow and a bit buggy. But if you bought one of the top of the range ones, they're actually pretty damn good phones. They've got great cameras, and actually, as you say, they're pretty solid. Like, I've had four models now, I think, like each upgrading. I've dropped them so many times. Like my last one, like it's almost in perfect condition. Like a few months ago, I accidentally dropped it and it got a scratch on the corner of it, but it's fine. Like the screen's fine and it's got a little chip in the corner. I'm like, bloody hell. Other than that, it's like perfect. I've had it for like 2.5 years. But yeah, the problem is the App Store is still limited. It's got all the main apps, like pretty much all the major apps you use, you know, like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I don't know, they're all there. And some of the big games like Angry Birds and Candy Crush Saga, if you're into that sort of thing, that they're on there. But you know, there's a lot of apps that still aren't there. But you know, I still love it. There's a lot of apps I don't really care about, but you know, it'd be nice if the store had more. But yeah. So Yeah, but yeah, there we go. That's my little Microsoft fanboy moment. So there we go.
Get on that Megavisions app is what it needs. That's the one thing it's missing.
That's what it's missing. Well, you can download it, but it's buggy as hell because the app development team we work with aren't really, they're being gay about the support for Microsoft phones. Thing is, though, the Windows, if you have the Windows tablets, the Windows version of Megavisions is as good as the iPad one. It's really good, but the phone one, not so good.
So we had Thanksgiving here this past week.
Yeah.
I know that's a thing that's kind of foreign to you guys over there, right?
Yeah, we don't really celebrate that sort of thing so much.
See, with Americans, we try to create holidays to justify us gorging on food. And so anytime we can do that, we will do it. And we will not feel bad about it. And we ate a ton of food. I fried a turkey, which is kind of my – it's become an annual tradition with my family is every year I end up frying a turkey. And it's incredibly amazing. It comes out really, really good. This year came out awesome. We had a coworker and his family come over, and we hung out, drank a lot of beer, and just hung out and had a good time. It's cool. You guys should get some Native Americans over there and have them hang out with some pilgrims, and then you guys can start your own Thanksgiving. And you guys can kind of
true.
Do it.
You say you deep fried a turkey. Did I just hear that? Or
yeah.
So totally is it like a weird KFC? Sort of.
It's not breaded. No, it's I inject it with a Cajun seasoning, and then I have a turkey fryer, a special turkey fryer. I don't bread it like it comes out. It's just giant breaded turkey. Although I did suggest doing that to my wife, and she looked at me like I was an idiot.
I could just imagine you going out to KFC or Popeyes or something, and like just coming back, just quickly hiding the bucket and like tipping the bucket out and putting it in like the oven or something, and throwing the bucket out and going, "Hey, it's fried turkey." Wow, that'd be so good. But we don't really have so much that. Although I did tell you about the other celebration that we had over here, which is called Bonfire Night, which for anyone who doesn't know is basically it's only in the UK, and it's a tradition where I can't remember exactly when, but like 100, like 300 years ago or whenever, some people were going to try and blow up Parliament, like our governments. They're going to try and blow them up. And this one guy got caught who's called Guy Fawkes, and they basically burned him at the stake. So they put him to death and burned him at the stake. And so every year since then, we burn effigies of like this person. like they'd have fireworks. Weird. It's the weirdest thing. But we... And I just always burn effigies of Guy Fawkes. They used to be just that, but now we like this year, my hometown, we have quite a big one, and they burn Donald Trump, an effigy of Donald Trump holding Hillary Clinton's head.
Wait, I thought you were kidding about that.
No, I'm going to send you a link right now, my friend. Let's see if I can find it. It was in like some of the national papers over here.
A little aggressive.
English Bonfire Night 2016. Let's see if we can find out. Okay, here we go. Oh my God, this is actually an Australian website, and they've got it on there. I can send a message in Skype, can't I? Yeah. Here we go. So if you type in, if anyone at home, if you type in Edenbridge Bonfire Night 2016, you'll pop up.
Wow, that's a pretty good effigy of Donald Trump.
And then they're not small, like so, like the one that happens at my hometown, it's like 50 feet high.
So you're actually here watching all this?
I didn't actually go to watch this one. I was there because we actually have like a, it's almost like a parade of floats with like local school kids and like scout groups and stuff. Like they're like they have like a parade down the high street, and they dress up as different things. Like there's a Harry Potter one. Like I think the scouts did like Hogwarts Harry Potter sort of theme and stuff like that. And they go down the high street, and then they all go to this big field and burn it. But you have to pay to go and actually see the bonfire. And my brother had his newborn like kid down, and it's like really cold. So we're like, oh, we'll just go back because Little Baby. Also, Little Baby and Fireworks, probably not the best mix ever. Like,
they love him.
He's like 4 months old, so it's probably not the best thing. But yeah. So yeah, there you go. So yeah, I wasn't lying about that. That was a real thing that happened. That's a crazy tradition we have over here. There's no food involved, though, so you guys win on that front. Yeah.
See, we would definitely add some food in there. So, all right, why don't we get into the news section now, the news stands.
That's Sega stuff. So far, it's the Microsoft food podcast. Right, yeah. So, do you want me to go for this?
Yeah, go for it. We'll take turns. How about we do that?
That sounds nice. Okay, let's do that. It's been a while since you've done this. Okay, welcome to the newsstand. So, Sonic Boom Season 2, it's premiered. We've had this first episode come out called Spacemageddon Eclipse. I think I pronounced that correctly. Spacemageddon Eclipse. Yeah. And yeah, the ratings have come in and it's pretty bad, basically. It's technically the lowest in the show's history. I know they've only had one season so far and this is the first episode of the second season, but compared to the first season, this is by far the lowest. Even though Sega like promoted it pretty well in America, the show's actually transitioned to Boomerang and the audience potential was like dropped. So for the first episode, it had 188,000 viewers, and we're looking at, like, comparing to season one, which had roughly 1.5 million viewers. So it's a huge drop down there, really.
Yeah, Boomerang is like a second or third tier channel under the Cartoon Network, structure of channels, and it's been just a terribly from what I've read. It's just been a really poorly done transition from Cartoon Network to Boomerang. They haven't been promoting it. It's just been just really bad all over. And the ratings are showing. I actually watched the first two episodes, which actually have like four episodes in them, and the show's pretty good. I really enjoyed the first two episodes. The second or the third and fourth ones were okay, but I really liked the premiere episodes. I thought they were really good, funny. I think the show does a really good job of being self-aware. There was one line in one of them where they're complaining about something and they said that they're going to create a petition to do something. It just kind of like pokes fun at Sega fans that in Sonic fans are always creating petitions for things. It's really funny. And so it has that really fun, self-deprecating and self-aware sense of humor. And I really like it. The voice acting is really done well. I mean, it has I think most of the main cast and a lot of the people who've been voicing Sonic characters for a long time are here doing this. And so there's a great team involved, and it's just a shame, to see this decision affect the show so, you know, so badly. And I just can't imagine that if the ratings don't pick up and if they can't figure out a way to get, you know, people to, you know, move from Cartoon Network to Boomerang to watch this, I don't see them, you know, renewing this series a third season. If they're getting less than 200,000 viewers an episode, that's terrible, especially considering there were 1.5 million a season ago.
Yeah.
And, that's
just crazy though, like, because I haven't actually seen any of the new season, but I watched quite a lot of the first season when I could, because it's not actually on TV over here, so I have to watch it online. But I really loved it, and if the quality is still as you sort of suggest, as good as the first season, then it's just crazy that Cartoon Network's not trying to push it, because as you say, if they were getting 1.5 million. Like viewers on the first season and the quality stays reasonably good, then like the Cartoon Network should be pushing for it really to like, you know, be there, like be one that be a valid show that they're trying to promote and stuff. But it's, oh man, it's sad. It's frustrating when you see stuff like that. You're like, why don't you just, Like, if they kept it exactly the same and it failed, you'd be like, oh, okay, people just aren't interested. But if you change things around and don't try and push, like, promote it, like, you're like, come on, guys, seriously?
Yeah, it's... And this is the kind of the sad thing about it is, like, this was the one really good aspect about the whole Sonic Boom franchise, you know, is that this animated show was really good, whereas the games weren't so much, and this was kind of the bright spot in this, and, you know, people were probably hoping that this could kind of carry the Sonic Boom franchise and hopefully keep it going, but I don't know if that's going to be able to happen if this continues. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye out. Hopefully things pick up. It could be that, you know, that some more promotion is going to be needed. Maybe this is kind of a wake-up call to Cartoon Network, and they'll see what's going on, and they'll do some more on their part to better promote the episodes going forward. And hopefully we'll see an uptick on those in the coming weeks. So... next up, a lot of people, this is a little bit older news, but we wanted to talk about it anyway. So Sega of Japan recently had a survey on their website where they asked fans like a multitude of different questions. One was most hoped revival of series. Another one was the brand that they're most invested in, and then what their favorite character was. And so I'll run through the most hope revival now. Number one was Sakura Wars. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Graham.
I say Sakura Wars, but I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. You know me, I'm bad. don't get me to pronounce the Japanese thing. I'm like, this is wrong.
I will admit I've never played any of those games. I don't know what they're about.
I have to be honest, I haven't played them either. That's one of those franchises I know of. If you show me a picture, I'll be like, yeah, I know what that is, but never played it.
Yes, I know lots of people are really that really love that series, yeah. But I am not one of them. Next up is Jet Set Radio coming in at number two. We have Virtual On, Shinmu at four, Virtua Fighter at five, Panzer Dragoon at six. Woo-hoo! Number seven is Shining Force.
Yes.
Then we have Skies of Arcadia,
yep.
Streets of Rage, and Nights into Dreams. And so I want to ask you, out of all of those 10 games, what would be like your top three that you would want to see have a revival?
Panzer Dragoon, Shining Force, and Skies of Arcadia.
Boom.
No.
Pretty much in that order as well. Well, maybe Skies of Arcadia before Shining Force. No, I don't know. Yeah, but those three.
Shining Force is the better RPG.
Shining Force is a great RPG. Although Skies of Arcadia, I still think that deserves at least one sequel. That was such a great game. That's the closest.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Closest game I think I've played that is comparable to Panzer Dragoon Saga in my mind. And Panzer Dragoon Saga is my favorite game of all time, so Panzer Dragoon wins. So there we go.
I will say Streets of Rage because that's probably my all-time favorite Sega franchise. I would love it, but I don't want a 3D Streets of Rage game. Yeah. I want a 2D. I'm fine with if they want to make the characters like 3D models and do you know something like that, but I want it to look more like the old school Streets of Rage. I want to beat them up. Something like, what is it? Dragon's Crown or something like
that.
Okay. You know, where you have like just really detailed hand drawn mm-hmm. characters and the environment looks super awesome. I want something like that.
Did you ever play Die Hard Arcade back in the day? It's on the arcade and on the Saturn as well.
I think so. I always, because there are a couple of Die Hard games on the Saturn, right?
Yeah, there's Die Hard Trilogy and then there's Die Hard Arcade, but
I always mix them up. I can't remember.
Die Hard Arcade was made by Sega, so it's a Sega game, and they released a sequel on the Dreamcast, but it wasn't called Die Hard. It was called, I think it's called Dynamite Cop on the Dreamcast. The Dreamcast one wasn't rated as highly, but basically it's kind of like Streets of Rage, but it's got 3D environments, and it's got 3D visuals, but it works really well. So you've normally got a fixed camera, so you're walking along beating people up sort of Streets of Rage style, but there'll be certain bits where the camera might flip behind the character, and you've got it had QTE scenes before Shenmue. Basically you'd like be running along a corridor and then you have to like tap A or something, and if you get it done in just in time, you'll punch a guy in the face around the corner, or if you fail, you like go around the corner and the guy will hit you over, and then you lose a bit of life but get up and keep going. So it's kind of like made it really interactive and like felt it's really good. It's a really awesome game. And I don't know, if I was thinking of new Streets of Rage, I'd like it to be a bit more like Die Hard Arcade in a way. So I don't know. I just throw that out there. It's not like a full 3D game, but it's got 3D visuals and they use a bit of elements of 3D in a way. So yeah, but okay, yeah. Sorry, continue with your list.
I think number two would be Shining Force, because that's probably my number one Sega RPG franchise. I love Shining Force. I would want just something that's very similar to the originals. I don't want them to do anything crazy and change up the formula. Just make it a turn-based, you know, strategy RPG. Mm. Keep it like that. Give me the same anime style character art. Just keep it. There's the formula's there. It's not broken. Don't try to fix it.
Yeah.
And lastly, and this might surprise some people, Knights of the Dream. I'm sorry, I already started saying it. Hear me out. I want it on PlayStation VR, and I think a Knights game in VR could be really, really cool if done right.
Yeah, how would that work?
I have no idea, but that's not for me to figure out.
So would you be in the eyes of knights flying around, or...?
I think so. That would be... Maybe you would be on his back, like you're riding him, and you see him flying, and you control him with like a horse reins tied around his head,
like a Panzer Dragoon style game,
yeah, or a Panzer Dragoon game, but it's knights instead.
Yeah, well, that'd be cool.
Different characters.
Because as people probably know, you know, they did have a sequel for Knights into Dreams on the Wii, the original Wii, and
that was a good game.
It wasn't terrible, but they just didn't hold a candle to the original Knights. They sort of, I think they ruined it with certain things like the voice acting. I think while it was fine, it kind of ruins the mystery around the characters and
as much as I hate Nintendo games that don't have voice acting, I can't stand playing Zelda games with no voice acting. It grates on my nerves. That is one series that I will agree with that I don't think should have voice acting as Knights.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's, yeah. But yeah, I think that's a cool idea, yeah. Yeah, what about busting out on the Oculus Rift as well? Whoa.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Yeah, that'd be
fun. So brands are most invested in. We have number one, Secure Wars against. I don't.
We need to get
number.
What's that? We need to get on the Secure Wars.
Apparently, people really like this series, so we need to do something. I think is it similar to the dating game or something like that?
I thought it was an RPG.
Probably nothing like that.
Wikipedia this.
Obviously, we should know this.
I mean, it's been around since like the Saturn days. I just realized. Wow.
I think it's a graphic novel.
It's dramatic fantasy and science fantasy tactical role-playing adventure video games. Okay.
Sounds like about eight different genres.
Okay, yeah. It says tactical war game and dating sim. So I guess kind of like Shining Force meets a dating sim.
What is that one dating sim that they had on the Nintendo DS that you loved?
Dating sim? Oh, wait, are you thinking of Rub Rabbits?
No.
Oh, dating sim on the DS.
Project Rub.
Okay, yeah, Project Rub and Rub Rabbits was the sequel. Yeah, I love Project Rub. It's brilliant. That's a little bit different to a normal dating app. Like, Project Rub and Rub Rabbits are basically these really fun mini games, basically, but the whole point of this is like a weird story that when you're doing the mini games, this guy's trying to, like, courts this girl, basically. Like, he's basically trying to like make her fall in love with him, and they do crazy stuff. Like I can't actually remember some of the stuff they did, but there's all these mini games, and each mini game was designed to show you a love for this girl or something. And it was an awesome game. That is when Sega was at its peak back then with that game. It was so good. Such a fun game. Gotta try it out.
And then, okay, number two is Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. Number three is Phantasy Star Online.
Interesting.
Number four is Virtua Fighter.
Cool.
Five is Jet Set Radio. Six is Yakuza. Seven is Panzer Dragoon. Eight, which is kind of weird, Sega Saturn. I guess people just really love the Sega Saturn brand. Number nine is Persona. And 10 is Hatsune Miku Project Diva.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, this was Sega Japan, wasn't it, who did this?
Yeah,
so I guess so they're all weird. Yeah. I was thinking, Phantasy Star Online, who the hell's played that? But obviously it's been out in Japan for about a billion years where we haven't got Phantasy Star Online 2 yet, so... Because that's cool.
What would your most invested brand be? Out of those 10?
Panzer Dragoon, definitely.
Yeah, Panzer Dragoon.
Phantasy Star Online, I love the original and the Dreamcast. I haven't enjoyed the sort of sequels as much. Universe was quite good, but...
I loved Phantasy Star Universe. We had some fun.
We did have fun.
Don't you remember us tricking the little kid into...
it started off so weird. Like, he did... for those who don't know, we've mentioned this before on the Nerdcast, this kid believed that we worked for Sega, but we didn't tell him that initially, as far as I remember. We said we work on Sega Nerds, and that's how we knew each other and stuff. And he was like, whoa, you work for Sega? And Chris was just like, yeah, sure, why not? And then he sort of just started to snowball, and it was like, wow, okay. Was he coming up?
I can't even remember the full story now. Like, I think we were... trying to convince them to give us like some in-game items or something. I can't even remember what we were doing. We were just messing around.
Yeah,
probably
we didn't actually do anything bad. It was fine. There was nothing untoward happening. It was just a bit of banter, really. But it was just
Graham is just banned from Xbox Live forever now for talking to young boys.
I was put on a register.
Then we have brands. Oh no, we already did that one. Favorite character number one is Segata Sanshiro, which is pretty awesome. Number two is Kazuma Kiryu. Number three is Ryu Hazuki. Four is Bayonetta. Huh? Five is Knights. Six is Dr. Eggman. That was interesting because he beat out Sonic the Hedgehog. Number seven is Temujin. Eight is Arl, nine is Alex Kidd, and 10 is Ulala. Which is weird, is why isn't Sonic on here at all?
People don't really like him anymore, let's face it.
I guess
they
not.
They want Eggman to win now. They're getting to the stage. Come on, let that guy win.
I've always wondered why Sega hasn't done a game from Eggman's perspective.
Ooh, well, Sega hasn't, but a fan has. There's actually I might have it on my shelf. One second, I'm going to quickly... try and run and grab it and see if is that it? Is that the one? Oh no. Yes, I've got it. I don't have my video's not working, so I can't actually show you. But if you Google wrote Dr. Robotnik's Creature Capture, it's basically a fan like homebrew game. They've taken like the original Sonic the Hedgehog levels, but put it into perspective of Dr. Eggman running around capturing the little wildlife animals to put into his robots.
I like it.
It's
I want him to actually, maybe it was just all a misunderstanding the whole time. He's actually a good guy.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
And Sonic is the bad guy the whole time.
All those animals actually had like deteriorating health problems. He put them in his little robot suits to help them. He's gathering the Chaos Emeralds so that he can
riddled
save
the
world.
With like, cancers and
yeah, exactly. Other, like, yeah, and
venereal diseases.
And Sonic's just running along and busting out these like little robots, like making the animals go, "No, I'm fine." Yeah, that'd be a good twist. Like 25 years later, it's a big misunderstanding.
Sonic has been infecting him with STDs, all these little animals.
Oh god. Let's not go there. One thing I have to say from this list I'm surprised about is Alex Kidd, because I love Alex Kidd. I think he's brilliant. He's probably one of my favorite Sega characters, but because he hasn't really had a game for like ages, like who's been thinking about this guy?
I think he's just probably one of those characters that just has remained somewhat popular, and he's people who are nostalgic about those characters probably still hold them in well regard.
Yeah,
I would imagine
maybe. I just Well, I'm happy to see him there. I'm not disappointed with that. I think it's great to see him there. I'd love to see a new game of his. That would be so good. But yeah. So there we go.
Yes, and that pretty much wraps up the survey.
Oh yeah, the survey. Yeah.
You thought I was going to say wraps up the news.
Yeah.
I'm not that rusty.
Okay, good man. yeah, so, oh yeah, it's my turn, isn't it? Sorry. Okay, I think this is awesome, but there seems to be a little bit of controversy on some websites. Sega has shown off a new Dark Souls-inspired game called Soul Reverse, and they've released like a sort of CGI launch trailer type thing, and you can see like where it's like how it's got the Dark Souls sort of inspiration from, and it's like a sort of medieval style, quite a dark sort of setting by the looks of it, and it's got a thing about like you're going to die again and again and again, which is pretty much like the whole Dark Souls promotion thing, like be prepared to die, so it's like you're. You have to go and watch the CGI read for me to fully explain it, for you to fully understand it, rather. I think it looks pretty awesome. I thought the trailer was really, really good. I can see where the Dark Souls stuff's come from, but I'm cool with that. I love Dark Souls, and I think Sega's trying to take a slightly different stance on it in a way. From what you sort of see in the trailer, you think, maybe there's a little bit of difference to it. A lot of people like on the comments and stuff on like the websites were just like, oh my god, they're just like ripped off Dark Souls basically. But it's hard to tell from a trailer. But apparently though it's actually an arcade game, so it's not actually console based, so it's gonna be arcade. It's made by the AM2 division at Sega, who's obviously famous for their arcades. Apparently the game's approximately 70% complete right now. And there's no confirmation on a home console release yet, but it kind of looks like one that could easily make it there just from the trailer. But you've seen the trailer as well, Chris. What do you think?
I thought it looked really great. The visuals are probably the best. I know it was just CGI and it wasn't actual gameplay or anything like that. But it looked amazing. I thought it's probably some of the best I've seen coming out of Sega in a while now. Did you mention that it is an arcade game, Graham?
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, so it's an arcade game from AM. Console release, but there could be one. You never know, really. Mm-hmm. But I have to agree with you on the CGI. I know it's CGI, and I know CGI looks amazing, but Sega just doesn't seem to have really done much CGI, at least not for traders anyway, for like a while. So just seeing that was actually kind of like, wow, that is actually pretty cool. They did it really well, because CGI can sometimes look a bit wooden still. Like, it always looks crisp and nice these days. But sometimes, stuff in the background looks a bit wooden. But here, all the animation looked really fluid. And yeah, it looked really good, I thought. So I'm kind of excited for this one. I don't have an arcade near me at all, but keep your eyes on it, I guess.
Just buy the arcade. Bring the arcade home.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I could do that when you're flat. Woo. Yeah.
With that millions of dollars that you got from given to you.
Well, I do have to stay overnight in a haunted mansion before I get the money. I'll tell you guys. every other part of my family who's done that has died so far. So, I feel good about this one.
All right.
Yeah.
next up, Sega is going to be showcasing four upcoming games at the PlayStation Experience. It's going to be taking place here, I think it's the first week or so of December in Anaheim, California. Those games are going to be Sonic Mania, Persona 5, Yakuza 0, and Hatsune Miku Future Tone will all be playable there. If you end up going, there's also going to be Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdoms. Ooh. Is going to be there as well. Yeah, I've played the demo. I previewed it for Megavisions this last issue, and it's going to be really good. It's already really, really good. I'm really excited for that. That might be one of my most excited about games that's going to be coming up here next year. But yeah, these, I wish that I was going, to be honest with you, because I really want to give Yakuza 0 some play. I haven't played Sonic Mania. I feel like I'm like the only person in the world that hasn't played the demo of Sonic Mania yet.
Yeah. I played that one, so I'm very excited for Sonic Mania. Yakuza as well, I'm really excited for. I haven't played that one, though. Persona 5 I'm also interested as well. I haven't played any of the Persona games, but I think it looks really good. So it looks like it could be an exciting showing there, really.
I'll be honest, I have not played many of the other Persona games. I've played Persona 4 Golden on the Vita, and it's amazing. I have Persona 3 FS or FES, whatever that's called. I played it a bit, but I haven't played it a whole lot. I know my younger brother love that series, and he's played it a ton. I'm not a big Hatsune Miku fan, just not my thing. Persona 5, I'm very excited for Yakuza 0 and Sonic Mania. You know, Sega's, you know, has a pretty, you know, nice, lineup of games that's going to be coming out in the first quarter to first half of 2017. This is probably going to be one of the more strong, quarters or, starts to a year that they've had in a while. And so hopefully that translates to, lots of sales for them.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, they're pumping out good games. I think like last couple of years, it does seem to have been doing so well, but it's exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah. And we're hoping to get some coverage of the PlayStation experience in the next issue of Megavisions. I'm working something, Graham. trying to get us some coverage of that.
Yeah, right now. I've seen some emails flying around. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Speaking of Persona 5, I'll go into this. It was recently announced that it has been delayed into April of 2017. So it was originally supposed to come, I think, February 14th, wasn't it? I think it was scheduled to release on Valentine's Day.
Oh, really? And, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's going to be a little bit longer, a couple months. I think there were some issues maybe with the translation or something like that. Mm. So it's taking a bit longer. So that's happening. That's a thing. So I'm fine with it. It's not a game that I felt like I needed to have right away. I'm perfectly fine waiting until April to play this game.
Yeah, same here. I don't actually have a PlayStation 4, so yeah. Cool.
You didn't hear it's coming to Microsoft Lumia phone.
Woo! Now that would be a thing. That would be so good. That's what Sega needs to do. we're moving on anyway. We've got a couple of Kickstarter bits of news, which is awesome. There's a couple of Mega Drive games coming out. I'll do the first one, Chris. One of them is called Coffee Crisis. It's like an arcade-style beat-em-up brought to you by Mega Cat Studios, who claim, I assume they are, but they're, this is what they're saying, we are pushing the console to its limits with beautiful remastered 16-bit high-definition graphics. So, yeah, it's on the Mega Drive or Genesis. And currently, it's raised nearly $8,000 with a goal of $10,000. It looks pretty cool from what I've seen. I've only seen screenshots so far. I'm always excited for sort of Mega Drive and, any old retro Sega games for old retro Sega consoles. So that's, I'm pretty excited. So I'm actually going to try and back this probably tomorrow, actually. I'm going to get down and back it. So it's exciting. Do you want to do the next one, Chris, or...?
Sure. The next one is another Genesis Kickstarter game called Tanglewood. And I'm a little familiar with Coffee Crisis. I'm probably more familiar with Tanglewood. This is a it's more of a platforming game set in a fantasy world. You play this creature named Nim, and looks almost like a fox, I would say.
That's what I assumed it was. But
here's the description. It says, Tanglewood is a love letter to a wide variety of 2D platforming and adventure games of the 90s, mixing fast-paced action with puzzles, tricks, and traps, inspired by titles like The Lion King, Another World, Flashback, and Sonic the Hedgehog, mixed with more modern gameplay elements from newer titles such as Limbo and Ori and the Blind Forest. It also takes inspiration from PlayStation platforming classics like Abe's Odyssey and Heart of Darkness.
Ooh, yes.
And so one of the cool things about this game is that the developer, he is actually creating this on original Sega development hardware.
That is cool.
Which is really neat. It's not like, you know, working on like just a PC. He's doing like old school. He has all the, you know, he has like, I guess, video of it on his Kickstarter where he's, you know, shows him, you know, using some of these, the original development kits and things like that. His name's Matt Phillips. He just announced that he hired on a new, artist, who worked on, Pure Solar, which is really cool. And so, if you liked, you know, some of the animation and the pixel art and things like that in Pure Solar, you probably are going to like what they're going to be doing in, Tanglewood. And it's, due for release in, winter of 2017. You can get a physical cartridge for about 50, let's see here. Yeah, for about 50 pounds.
Oh,
or
cool.
60 pounds. That was the early bird. So 60 pounds. I ended up backing it for that because this game just looks amazing. There is apparently also a very early, like, alpha demo that you can download and play. So if you just, you know, you're wary about backing Kickstarters for games that are, you know, really early in development and you may not think that they'll ever come to, you know, fruition, you know, Matt actually has a working, you know, level or so of the game. I haven't played it yet. I'm actually looking at his Kickstarter right now, and here is one of the Mega CD development kits that he's using to make the game. It's cool. Crazy. This game's awesome. We definitely should get him on the podcast and just talk to him more about this. He seems like an awesome guy, and he actually helped back Megavisions back in the day. He was one of our advertisers for Megavision, so shout out to Matt for that.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Should give a shout out to MegaCat Studios as well, then, because they also helped. They're one of our advertisers on Megavisions as well. So
that's right.
Yeah, I'm really bad. I've actually forgotten the name of the chap who. Where's it gone?
Jeez, Graham.
I'm terrible.
While you're thinking of that, I will also say so.
James Deegan or. Again, that's I probably mispronounced his name, but sorry, James. Thank you as well. That's awesome.
Matt has also worked on other games. He's worked at studios like Traveler's Tales, Crytek UK, and Deep Silver. Engine programming and audio and other type of special effects on, you know, systems and games ranging from the Xbox 360 to the Mega Drive to Sega Saturn and Dreamcast and things like that. So he's got lots of experience. This guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I'll say, man, you know, both of these games look really, really good. The Coffee Crisis guys are doing some really neat things with their Kickstarter, where you can get like actual coffee and things like that. It's pretty funny. But it's cool, man. I mean, it's neat. It's neat to see really high quality, independent Genesis games being in development. And I think that's awesome. And I think we, you know, people should go out and support these games because we need more games like this. And I love to see, the video game community come out and make these things happen and show that, you know, you don't need to develop games on, you know, on Steam and other giant platforms as an indie developer to be successful. You can go on a more niche system like the Genesis is these days, and still, you know, do really well. Currently he's, at nearly $28,000 and he has around a $60,000 goal. He's got 19 days to go. So we definitely need to get, you know, people backing this more. So far it's looking pretty good. I hope nothing for the best for both Tanglewood and Coffee Crisis.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Awesome. All right, that will officially wrap up the newsstand this week, Graham.
Woohoo!
Awesome. Our feature discussion is going to actually be about Megavisions. So this gives us some time to talk more about Megavisions, basically our thoughts on the whole process of creating the magazine, and then, you know, we'll talk about kind of where we're going into the future. And so in the last podcast, we talked a bit about why we were going to do Megavisions and all that kind of thing. I think it was leading up really to the Kickstarter and everything. Graham, why don't you take everyone into where, like, after the Kickstarter, you know, was successful, the months leading up to now, like, you know, what have we been doing? What have we been working
on? Oh, God. Oh, man. So, yeah, like, basically, again, just want to say thank you so much to everyone who did support us on Kickstarter. Really couldn't have done it without you. It's awesome. Got us off the ground. Got us able to sort of get the ball rolling, really, because all the money from the Kickstarter is basically helped to sort of get everything launched. So from once the Kickstarter succeeded and the money came in, we were able to sort of secure. We kind of needed to firstly sort of secure the platform that we are going to be working with. So we're working with a partner called Pocket Mags. They effectively develop. They take our magazine design basically. Well, we upload it onto their system and they use some magic buttons. They probably just press one button or something, but it turns into an app that works on like all app stores, and they upload it for the app stores and handle that side of things, which is really handy. And if there's a bug in the system, they're the guys who try and weed it out and like actually do developing stuff, because we don't know how to develop anything because we don't do that. we're securing people like that. So we secured our partner working on it. We secured contributors such as our key artist, Rob, who does our covers. He's awesome. I can never pronounce his last name though, Chris. Can you pronounce
Duenas?
Thank you. I always say Duenas or something. So Duenas, is that right?
Close.
Okay, that'll do. Sorry, Rob. So he does amazing art, and we got some other like Ashley. She does some great artwork. She did the Tojo Manel retrospective in the magazine. She did the artwork there on the sort of the lead page for that, which was awesome. Some other writers. We got Blake Harris on board to interview Greg Johnson from Toe Jam & L. So, all these people, they're all professionals. They are freelancers, effectively, and contributors. So we have to pay them something, at least. We got them secured, like, on board the system to help us out. And then it was basically a process of getting our guys writing the stuff. We had some stuff written up already, but you know, getting guys going with writing stuff and then laying out the magazine, really. I'm not really sure how much detail I can go into really on it other than that, really.
It's basically been, I mean, a lot of it has been, you know, not only like Graham has been, you know, working really hard on just building kind of the infrastructure of the magazine with the magazine cloner, people that we've been working with, just, you know, getting the app essentially created onto the app stores, building the framework of what the magazine is going to look like, all that kind of thing. And we're also busy with just building websites too, like getting the forums up and running, getting the website up and running and things like that. A lot of it is just crazy. It's been just so much just talking to people, you know, like for me, that's probably what I do more than anything else, is just talking to people, emailing, making sure people are covering something, making, you know, trying to make contacts with, you know, companies, all this other stuff. It's just been so much. It's been a ton of work.
Yeah. Because I think that's the thing. We both had very two polar experiences with the magazine. You've been doing an amazing job, like just talking to people, securing people like to help us on the magazine and just making sure that, you know, everything's running smoothly. So like basically getting everything in on time, and you know, if someone like can't do something, you can get someone else to pick it up or whatever, which has been awesome. And I've been sort of very much focused on the the designing and the laying out and just basically putting the words onto paper, well, onto the screen for everyone, and then sort of trying to upload into the back end of the system, making sure stuff works, and you know, I guess getting the physical, even though it's not physical, it's digital, getting the sort of, I guess, the digital physical products ready. Whereas you've obviously been doing the, like the, I guess the best way is, this might make it sound bad, but like the admin managerial side of stuff, which is incredibly important, obviously, is like probably the most important thing ever. But yeah, just making sure everything's running smoothly and, you know, you're keeping the ship afloat, basically. So, yeah, it's been two very different experiences. But, yeah, we've all been busy. It's not just us two, obviously. There's a team behind us. Like, Martin's been hugely involved, and all the other guys, all our writers. It's been intense, though. There's been a few... I wouldn't say late nights, I'd say no nights for both Chris and I. We stayed up literally through the night trying to sort things out and get stuff, just to try and ensure we had hit our deadline, mostly for our advertisers, because a couple of the, as we just mentioned, the Kickstarter guys, they just wanted to launch their Kickstarter when we launched, or at least a day or two before we launched our magazine. So they wanted to make sure we launched it on time for them, really. It's been intense.
That last week, because we ended up announcing that we were going to release Megavision issue 1 on November 15th, and everything was like going good right up. Everything was on track, I should say, with getting both the tablet version and the phone version out the door on time, but then, like, I think it was a couple days before we started running into some issues with the tablet version, just having some, I guess it was a bug that they thought that was fixed in their platform that came back again and essentially jumbled up all the interactive development. So, like, there would be videos on one page that was for, like, Tom and Al's column, and then there would be, like, info boxes on random pages. They were just basically scattered all throughout the magazine. And that was one of the causes, Graham, I think, for you staying up quite late trying to get it all fixed, right?
That's pretty much right. Yeah, basically, it was because we did actually manage to launch on the 15th. But there were some sort of bugs in the back end running up to the launch, which we thought had gone. And in fact, Pocket Mags are our app developers, basically the system we're using, they created, and they thought because they'd actually updated their system, they'd added in a load of new features and stuff. But so when we uploaded the tablet version, it looked great. It looked fine. There were some issues that were causing bugs on the phone version, which we couldn't get solved in time. But as we were sort of sorting those out, suddenly the tablet version just went wrong. Like, we didn't touch the tablet version at all. Suddenly stuff just started going wrong. We're like, what the hell? So people who'd already downloaded it, they think, as Chris said, like, things were out of sync, things were out of place. And we're like, what the hell's happened? And we went back to the Pocket Mags, we're like, what? And they sort of looked at it and went, ah, crap. And basically, yeah, they'd updated their system, and there was some, like, this is sort of almost the explanation they gave me. There were some old bits of code or old files still in the system, which hadn't been processed through the cache or the cache or whatever properly or something like that. So they had to almost purge their system and make sure all the old stuff was out and that the new code was working properly, which meant actually we had to redo all the interactive elements for the whole magazine on the tablet version, and also do some fixes on the phone version before we could launch the phone version. So the tablet version actually went down for about a day while we got that fixed. But we also, the good thing is, though, we were able to upload the phone version at the same time once the tablet version was fixed. So while the tablet version launched was pretty good, it suddenly just all went wrong. It's just like, and it delayed the phone version, and yeah, so it was kind of a bit of a major panic our end, because at first we were just like, it should be perfect. We haven't done anything wrong. We don't understand why, but once we worked out why, then it was fine. We worked it out, and you know, we got it going. So, yeah.
what was some of your favorite articles that you read in the magazine this issue?
Ooh, man. The main feature article about Toe Jam and Earl, which Blake Harris did, which was an interview with Greg Johnson, that I think is probably my favourite thing. Simply partly because of just how amazing it was, really, but also the reaction I had when Chris gave me the article to put into the magazine, which it was an insanely long article. Which we,
I think I told you before, I was like, look, man, this is a long article.
Yeah.
You're going to freak out. But just, I think I said, look, read it first, right?
Yeah. Those are pretty much your words. Like, I know it's a long article. Just read it. Cause you were like, I can't remove anything. And I was just like, I just saw the amount of words. Cause it came to me in a Word document. I was just like, I think I was just like, for fuck's sake, basically. It was like, this is ridiculous. But then I followed your advice. I was like, after my little mini rant to myself, going, oh, grr, it's too long. Grr. Because it was just crazy long. I sat down and read it, and I couldn't put it down. And it was probably genuinely the most interesting interview I've ever read for anything in the video game industry. Probably the most interesting interview I've ever read for anything ever, really. Greg Johnson's like career in like gaming and before gaming as well is just so fascinating. It's unbelievable. I've never heard anything like it. And Blake did a great job asking the right questions and stuff. So it's just really engaging. And so we didn't remove any of it. We kept it all in. The interview was split across the magazine into like five parts to sort of help make it a bit easier to read and easier to manage. So sort of five different parts of his life, almost Greg Johnson's life. It's such a good article. I try to think of other articles that reached out. I loved all of them. I really enjoyed reading your the preview. Was it Monster Boy in the Cursed Kingdom?
Yeah, that game. I had a blast.
Yeah,
not only writing it but playing that game. It was so much fun. I'm like I said before. That's one of my most excited games that I'm most excited about that's going to be coming out this next year. I think one of my favorite columns is the Confessions of a Nintendo Fan by David Oxford.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly, but I mean, so for those that don't know, David wrote for Nintendo Power. He writes now for Nintendo Force, which is another excellent magazine. I'm a subscriber to that. And he's been a lifelong Nintendo fan, and he was kind of on the other side of a lot of the schoolyard arguments and things like that. He was a Nintendo kid while, you know, a lot of us were Sega kids. And so he ended up not playing a lot of the games that we grew up and loved as Sega fans because he was a Nintendo guy. And so now what he's doing is he's going back and playing some of these games that Nintendo or Sega, you know, fans love and cherish that he just never did. And then he kind of gives you his thoughts, as an adult. And he also talks about situations when he was a kid and, you know, his friend may have had it and he didn't want to play it. He goes back to his childhood a lot, and it's really interesting. And I think it's just a fun way to talk about the console wars back in the day and from a whole new perspective. You know, it's one thing for us to talk about it. You know, so many of us have the same shared experiences, but this way we give people another perspective that they probably hadn't been, you know, kind of accustomed to or shown before. And I think it's fascinating. And it's we're already discussing, you know, games that he can play going forward. And I think, I think people are really going to enjoy that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. It was a really good, perspective, him talking about, Sonic the Hedgehog, what's this? Where I was more like, ugh, what's Mario? as you say, it's almost like the flip of what most of us would have experienced. So, yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
And the design on that was excellent. I really loved it, too.
Woo, I'll take the credit for that one. Thanks, Rudy. Yeah, all the articles are really fun to read. I guess for me, it was kind of weird because I was laying out the articles, so I was reading them as I was laying them out, so I didn't really get to sit down and just read it. But when I was putting it together, but after the issue came out, you know, a few days afterwards, I actually sat down and read it, and I was like, yeah, I'm really proud of this, basically. Like, all the articles were just so fun and just, yeah, just interesting. And, it seems weird. Like, this is one of the things that, like, when we first talked about the Kickstarter, some of the sort of feedback, like, the negative feedback we sort of received or we saw on, like, forums and stuff was, like, why would you have this magazine? Like, almost like, all this information is out there already online. Like, what can you do that's new? What can you do that's sort of, what's the point of having a magazine just about this when, you know, Sega's not as big as it used to be. The company's rolled back a lot more than even when they first became third party. But I think, like, oh, I'm hoping, like, from this first issue, like, if you just read it, you'll understand, like, how much extra stuff's out there. Like, Tom Kalinske and Al Nilsson column where they were talking about the launch of Sonic 2, Sonic Tuesday in America. And it says that's the stuff I knew existed, but I didn't really know quite the depths of what was happening there, especially like the marketing side of things and just the lengths they went to. Like they shipped out, they literally, like, there's some stores that didn't get all the copies they were meant to get, and they literally get, like, a helicopter flying stuff out. And like, you know, there's, like, it sounded like a military operation at one point. It's kind of fascinating when you actually, like, sit down and read or listen to these things.
Yeah, that's another column, Past Processing, where Tom and Al just basically reminisce about old stories where when they were running Sega and, you know, give new details on stories that, you know, we may have already read about, whether it was in Console Wars or whether it was just more common knowledge. And they'll also talk about stories that they've never really discussed before. So that's another column that I'm really, really excited about. Especially going forward too, I think there's going to be some really cool stuff in. So yeah, I mean, I just, like you said, I think with this first issue, I think people have a better understanding of what we can do with Megavisions, both from a kind of a user interface, standpoint where and why doing a digital magazine for smartphones, for tablets makes sense. We realize it's not a print physical magazine, but we can do a lot of really cool things on the iPad and on the tablet and phones. And I think we've kind of showcased those cool features on our zero issue and now our first issue. And I think we've got a lot of great feedback from it so far. And I'm really, really thankful that everyone is really enjoying it. But also from a content standpoint, because for me, as an editor, as a writer, for me, content is always the number one thing. You know, we can wrap all this stuff with all these fancy bells and whistles, but at the end of the day, if the content isn't engaging, if it isn't entertaining, if it isn't humorous, if it's not informational, then it's really of no use to people. And I really do think that our content is very good, very high quality. We've been working with a lot of great folks, and I'm just so proud of all the work from, you know, everyone on the team that's gone into this. I'm so thankful for the Sega and video game community for supporting us to be able to make this happen, and also just to all the fans out there who have you know, been engaging with us, whether it's on the forums, whether it's on social media. There's just so much excitement for Megavisions out there, and I'm really, really thankful for that. And I just want everyone to know that the whole team is very thankful. I mean, we talk about it every week at our weekly staff meeting, and people, our team, they're just very, very excited about all of the great and positive feedback, but also just about getting back to work on issue 2 and issue 3 and so on. And so, yeah, man, it's just, It's a crazy ride. I can't believe we actually launched that first issue. It's finally here. It's nuts, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. pretty much everything you just said. It's been an emotional ride, and this is just the first issue of we've promised at least six. We hope it'll be a lot more than that, but from the Kickstarter funding we've promised to do six issues over the next year. I'm kind of looking to the future. I hope it's going to go on a lot longer than that, but it's exciting. It's just exciting to sort of be doing this sort of project.
Definitely. We have some other ideas as it relates to like other podcasts and maybe Megavision specific podcasts that we're still kind of tweaking and working through. And so hopefully here in the coming weeks, we'll have some more announcements for that on some more content and ways that you can kind of get more information and background information and stuff like that on Megavisions and what goes into it. So more to come on that. Really quickly before we head out, why don't we talk about what we've been playing here recently, Graham?
Okay.
And this has been probably the same answer that you've been giving over the past 100 or so podcasts, but I'll let you go ahead. I'll let you start. What have you been playing?
I have been playing, my friend, Skyrim. and it's not that I've been playing the same Skyrim, you know, for the last 10 years. No, it's not been 10 years. It's been out for, the original one came out in 2011. So they obviously relaunched the game on Xbox One and PS4 recently, the remastered version. So naturally I had to go and buy it. I actually missed the launch day though. I don't know how that passed me because I loved the game so much. And then like it just came out and I just missed it. And then someone on Facebook just sort of mentioned that they're playing it. I was like, oh, it's out. So I rushed out and got it. And it's so much fun. Like I still love the game. Like, they've obviously enhanced the graphics a bit visually and stuff. And you can see a lot further in this version compared to the original one, which is awesome. But the great thing is, I've got the Xbox One version because I don't have a PlayStation 4, but you've got all the mods. And Chris, I don't know, have you got the new Skyrim, Chris?
No, I haven't picked it up yet.
So obviously on the PC version of the original one, people could create their own sort of mods and enhancements to the game. There's been all sorts of crazy stuff going on, but the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions didn't have that luxury, and they were called like the vanilla Skyrim. Basically, like the graphics look fantastic, but when you sort of see what the people were doing on PC, like there's loads of enhancements for the PC version which were amazing, and it was really awesome what they were doing on PC. I've got the PC version as well. I didn't play as much as the console one because I just don't game on my PC as much, but I tested out some of the mods on there, and it's pretty cool. But it's really exciting to see the mods come to console. The mod list is more limited than the PC version. The PC version seems to have a lot more free reign, but so like the Xbox and PlayStation ones, they have limited ones. In fact, I've heard, I actually need to confirm this, I haven't actually double checked this, but I heard that the PlayStation version actually has less mods than the Xbox One version because Sony's been stricter with all their mods. There's a couple of comments, like if you actually look at the mods on the Xbox, there's like people who've made the mods saying, "This is not coming to PS4, so stop asking," because Sony has blocked it for some reason. Like stuff like that. But it's just really exciting. Like they've got little enhancements to like some of the character animations, to like the graphics, the weather. It sounds silly, but like the weather is like so much more impressive when you download the mods. But people have actually created whole new quests and storylines within the game. One of the things I downloaded, it's like a whole big underground city which has got like a murder mystery going on in it, or like a disappearance, and you've got to try and solve it. And it's like a really cool quest. And they've released like loads of magic spells, like 400 extra new magic spells you can, like people have just created. And it's just changed the whole experience. Like I'm playing the same game, doing lots of the same quests and stuff, but I'm doing it in a very different way. My character's a lot more powerful than he used to be. Like, I've got loads of cool new spells and tricks, and I've now got two followers with me rather than only being able to have one, and they're really badass. And I've got lightsabers. I gave myself, I created for myself and for my followers lightsabers. So I'm busting out with, I've got Qui-Gon Jinns and Darth Vader's lightsabers, dual wielding them, whereas my followers have got Darth Maul's and, what's he called? Mace Windu, and Mace Windu's lightsabers. So that just makes it a bit more fun. I feel like I'm a Jedi. Back in medieval times. That's freaking awesome. Fighting dragons. It's great.
That does sound pretty awesome on paper. So, you know what? I do want to pick it up, but here's the thing. I'm going to wait. Because I'm really interested in seeing what they will announce with the Nintendo Switch. Because if they announce that there's mod support on the Switch and I can take it with me on the go, I might just opt to get Skyrim on the Switch instead of on the PS4 or the Xbox.
I can appreciate that. I mean, that's very exciting. I've semi-got a portable version because with the Xbox, you can do Xbox streaming. I've got a Windows tablet, which comes with a built, like, you've got a controller you plug it into, which is so basically around my house, around the flat, I can play it like in the bedroom and stuff, which is awesome. But yeah, if I could take it out to the park, I'd get a lot more sunshine in my life. So yeah, I think I can appreciate that with the Switch. That's really cool. But I mean, it's actually definitely confirmed for the Switch because I know they had it in the trailer. But I read somewhere that they may not even be confirmed yet. They're just sort of showing you could do this, and this is the kind.
Yeah, I don't think they've confirmed it, but I mean. I really don't think that they would show that, and it just never, it never happens. I mean, I know it's happened before, but I'm fairly confident that it's going to,
So yeah, that'd be freaking awesome if you could play that. But well, we've only got like when's it come out? It comes out early 2017, doesn't it? The Switch.
It's like March, I think.
Okay, that's cool. So we've got a few months to wait. So yeah, cool, awesome. I may pick one up myself. Cool. Anyway, what have you been playing, my friend?
I've been playing lots of Plants vs. Zombie Garden Warfare 2. I've been on a few different podcasts the past few weeks, and that's like always the game that I've been playing because my youngest son, Odin, is just completely obsessed with that game. And I'll tell you what, when he first started playing it, he first started getting into the very first Plants vs. Zombie Garden Warfare. And I played that with him quite a bit. And then the second one got released on the EA Access. And so we were able to play it there. And so I downloaded that and he started playing it and he was really into that. And he started making me play it. And at first it was just very, very different than the first game. The whole structure of the world was different. It was way different. And so I didn't really like it because I liked the simplicity of the first game. It was just very, kind of straightforward as far as like what you're doing, the types of game modes and things like that. And this one was just completely different. And so it took some getting used to, but he made me keep playing it. And now I have to say, man, that is an excellent game. It is so good. It's very well balanced. The characters are really fun. EA has done a really good job at creating a system that you want to keep playing the game because and complete quests and multiplayer, because you unlock as you progress through quests and everything else, you get rewarded with coins. You can use those coins to buy basically digital packs of cards, and these packs will do things like will unlock a character portion of it'll help unlock like a new character or something, or it'll give you items that you can use to decorate your character. It'll be like a new hat or a new like a mustache or something silly. And so all of them do different things, or you can just pay money to buy like 100,000 coins, which Odin has made me do before too. There's all these different things, and they've done a really good job of continuing to support the game. There's always new content. There's always new quests. They're coming with stuff like, it's almost like week after week, there's new things coming into the game. And so I think this is just one of the best examples of how to continue to support a game after it's been launched, and to be able to keep players engaged and keep coming back, and just not only to keep supporting that player base, but also keep it growing. And they've just done a great job with that. And so if anyone out there hasn't played this game yet, and you like shooting games, and you like something that's maybe not overly violent and something that you can play with younger kids, I think this is a great game for that, because it's fun, it's easy to pick up and play, but there's also a lot of skill involved to really get good at it. And so that's been pretty much taken up almost all of my free time when it comes to video games. Other than that, I've been playing a little bit of Cloudmaster on the Master System. It's a game that I'm planning on reviewing for Megavisions. Ooh. And so I've been playing a bit of that over the past week or so. This is a game, it was, looks like it was originally released in the arcade. It's a Taito-developed game. It was released in 1988. It was eventually ported to the PC Engine, and then eventually to the Master System in 1989 by a company called Hot B. And you're essentially, it's basically a side-scrolling shooter. You're this cute little boy that's floating on a cloud, and you shoot projectiles at all these just different, crazy, just ridiculous enemies, like flying heads and flying like bowls of rice and other things that shoot at you for no real reason, it seems like. But there's some really cool mini-bosses that you will end up fighting against at the end of every level. They're really big, and it's impressive that you know, that they had this on the Master System. Just the use of color is really good, and I'm really enjoying the game so far. They also released a remake on the Nintendo Wii called The Monkey King, The Journey Begins. Mm. And so some of the old employees of Hot B apparently bought the rights from Taito and developed the remake in 2008.
Awesome.
Which is pretty cool. I actually have that version as well. The Requiem, who writes for both Megavisions and Sega Nerds, bought that for me. I think he got it for like a dollar or two at GameStop. And I had no idea that there was, that's the thing even existed. And he just showed up to my house one day. I was like, hey, I brought this for you. Oh, which is really cool. So once I get done playing through the Master System version, I'm going to pop in the Wii remake and give that a go and include some of that content in my review. So that's what I have coming on the horizon, at least for this next week. I also ended up picking up Dishonored 2. I'm still waiting for that to come in the mail. I'm really excited about that. I loved the very first Dishonored. I loved all the different ways that you could go about progressing through the game, especially some of the nonviolent ways, like, and how it rewarded you to do that. I think they did an excellent job at that. And it sounds, from what I've read and seen online, it seems like they've just broadened that whole aspect of the game. And in some ways, it's just like a big playground for you to experiment with different just ways to navigate through problems and scenarios and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. So I'll report more in the coming weeks once I get some time with those.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, man, it's been about an hour and a half on this podcast, Graham. I think it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. Yeah.
Where can people find you on the social medias if they want to talk to old Graham?
Oh, wow. Where would they find me? I think, well, Twitter is obviously the good one, which is just at Graham Cookson, which is simple. Yeah, that's probably the one I'm the most social on. Like, if you follow me on Facebook, I'll be like, "Where's this guy come from?" But yeah,
do you do Snapchat?
I can honestly say no. I've never experienced Snapchat.
I've tried, dude. I can't figure it out. I'm officially like too old for social media,
yeah.
For like the new social media stuff. I can't figure it out. I don't know what
that's the beauty of having a Windows phone. I've got the excuse of I can't download it, but I've never actually seen anyone use the iPhone. To me, I don't know. I know it's a thing. I genuinely don't know what it is though, other than Do you take pictures? I thought you took pictures and they like lasted like 10 seconds. And you sent them to someone and then.
I don't know. Apparently, from what some of the girls at work were telling me, it's just a way that guys can send like dick pics, yeah. but put like doggy faces on their penis oh, wow. or something. And maybe I guess that's supposed to make it okay.
I'm sold now. That's what I've been looking for. Damn it.
This is what you've been missing all your life.
Yeah. Why did I get a Windows phone? I should have got an iPhone for this. Oh, yeah.
I want a filter that makes my penis look like semen.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
So you could find me on Twitter. It's at Baron Von Powell. If you want to follow Megavisions, maybe you've been a longtime listener of the Sega Nerdcast, but this is like your first experience or hearing about Megavisions. You can follow the Megavisions account on Twitter at Megavisions Mag. And then on Facebook, I think it's just facebook.com/megavisions there. The website is megavisionsmag.com. And if you navigate to the website, you'll be able to get links to all the different app stores. The Megavisions app is free to download. It's available on everything ranging from, you know, iTunes or the Apple App Store, I should say. Google Play, the Amazon App Store, Windows Store, pretty much everything, all the major ones. And Grandma, I want to say it's also on the BlackBerry Store too. I found that out recently.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I don't know who's got BlackBerry, so I can't confirm or deny this. But yeah, it's Pocket Mags, our partners, who actually put it out on those different stores. So I think they put it on some stores we're probably not aware of. I don't know. I know that if you're in the UK and you really love Sainsbury's, the Sainsbury's Entertainment app apparently has it. So yeah, it's on there. Or one of the Sainsbury's apps, you can also get it on there. So just for your information, Chris, Sainsbury's is a supermarket and they have like an entertainment app and a magazine app or something like that.
Oh, wonderful.
So yeah.
Give them my regards.
I will do. Next time I pop in there, I will tell the manager, who probably won't know what I'm talking about, and just be like, yeah, great, thanks. I'm on your store.
Maybe pick up some of those sour sweets for me next time you're in there.
Ooh, yeah, I've been meaning to do that, actually, yeah.
Yeah, you need to pick those up for me, buddy.
Okay, sorry, dude.
That's what I want for Christmas this year.
Oh, okay, excellent. Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. Christmas, really, I forgot about that.
Oh. My birthday.
Yeah.
And I want it.
You want that shit. Okay, yeah, awesome.
So, yeah, so you'll be able to get there, you'll be able to download the magazine and the app from there. If you just want to give it a try before you purchase it, our zero issue is absolutely free. You don't have to register. You don't have to do anything. Literally, all you need to do is just download the app, download zero issue. You'll get an idea of what Megavision is all about. And then if you'd like to purchase issue one, it's available now for $3.99, or you can purchase a full 6-issue subscription for $19.99 and save you a few bucks that way. Mm. There's also the Sega Nerds on Twitter at Sega Nerds. Facebook is facebook.com/TheSegaNerds. And as always, go to SegaNerds.com. That's where we have all of our daily Sega news and content. We're still keeping that updated, every day with new articles, on the latest happenings, all around the world of Sega and Atlas. So keep following that. And then Megavisions is where, you will go every other month to get your new issue of the magazine. Hopefully that pitch went fairly well, Graham.
I thought it was good.
Would I have made you want to buy or download the magazine?
You had me at Mega.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. Sweet. I'm gonna try that tonight on my wife. See. So.
Oh, man. Cool.
All right. Awesome. And with that, I think we're done here. Yeah. So we will try to do another podcast within the next 6 months. That is our promise to you.
Hopefully soon.
We'll make sure we do it. Yeah. So, all right. Awesome. We are out. Take it easy, fellas.
Peace, guys.